and just take this podcast casual.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
On this week's episode of Geeks Without God, the three of us talk about our most recent geeky hobbies, answer some condescending questions about atheists, and Molly gets to answer our five questions.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
Geeks without God.
Welcome back to Geeks Without God. Thanks for joining us. What we are going to do this week, we are going to start answering some questions that I found on the internet. But before we do that, I know, questions on the internet. Whoopee. But before we do that, I thought we'd just kind of do a round the horn. What's going on in people's lives? What's happening right now, geeky-wise or whatever? What's going on with you, Molly?
So I work for Fantasy Flight Games,
which is pretty geeky.
If you guys don't know, we make like Arkham Horror and Twilight Imperium and Battlestar Game and all kinds of games.
We got a link over to your website.
Yeah. So we have Gen Con coming up in August, which is the world's largest board game convention and trade show. And so since I'm in the sales department, I am involved in setting up the planogram for the retail space at Gen Con.
What is a planogram?
A planogram is in a retail store. It is a book that tells you where each individual SKU goes on every shelf, what's next to what order they're in. And so what my manager and I are doing is building this planogram in 3D space, in this huge like space we have. We put up all the fixtures, we put up all the shelves, we put up all the product, and then we look at it and see what we think, and then we take pictures and we document it, and we put all the little product codes on it, and we make it little booklets, and everyone has to do what I say, and it's awesome.
It's super granular, like every little product number in the right place.
Every tiny bit. So every single peg on every bit of grid wall is marked in its precise spot, and it just satisfies the geekiest part of me.
Hundreds and hundreds to a wall sometimes.
Yeah, I hung 500 pegs last night over the course of the 6 or 7 hours we did it, and it's the minutia makes me it gives me a boner. I love it. I really love it. It's amazing.
Okay, Nick. What's up with you?
Ah, man.
Any boners?
Geeky stuff this week. Geeky boners this week. Well, I had the day off yesterday, and yesterday happened to be comic book day.
Oh, yeah.
So I went and picked up comics at The Source, the local comic shop, one of them in the Twin Cities here that I go to. And I got my comics, went back to the car, turned on the car, and just sat there in the parking lot, and I read, like, 5 comics, like, before even driving away.
You can't even wait until you get home.
It had stopped raining by that point. It was pouring rain before that, but there was, like, 3 comics that came out this week that I was just, like, I just had to just devour them right away. Like, they were so looking forward to them and so good lately. And then also the new, oh, man, this is embarrassing, the new series of the new Magic Card series, the new release just came out. And, like, I quit Magic Cards for, like, Magic the Gathering for, like, 8 years. And then before Convergence started, I was like, I'm going to buy a couple decks. We can play some at Convergence. We have friends that play, so that Molly and I could play. She used to play, too.
It's a game we can just play by ourselves at home.
Yeah, and so I bought, like, 4 packs.
Other games you could play by yourself? Never mind.
Yeah.
I bought, like, 4 packs. And, like, I was like, oh, this will be a fun. When Molly gets home from work, we'll open all these together. That is a lie.
No, when Molly got home from work, Nick had a sick deck that destroyed her library, and we had to, like, let's sit down. I want to try this deck with you, and it was a bloodbath.
It was gruesome. And so this lovely surprise was not lovely, but it was a surprise.
Surprise you by kicking your ass,
destroying
at magic.
You. Yeah.
Wow. That was love.
That was my. I had a really geeky day yesterday, and then we had the lunch with the Ville folks.
We had the Villification Tennis lunch, and you told me you were going to lend me your Parker graphic novels, and you didn't bring them, did you?
I did not bring them. Man, those are good.
I was really looking forward to that because I just finished the book I was reading. I was like, "Ooh, I know what I'm going to read next."
Bring them on Sunday.
That arrived on my birthday. The new one it came out, so it was like, hey, Nick, happy birthday. Here's the season premiere of Breaking Bad and a new Parker comic novel to read. And it was, like, the best things I could hope for that I have no control over on my birthday was new shit.
So, Tim, what did you do? What's going on with you?
Well, you know, I'm doing the alphabetical movie project, and I just watched... the last two that I watched were The Iron Giant,
which is a
fucking amazing movie. I love that movie.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh, my... Oh, what?
I know.
What?
I did not know that.
Oh, my God.
I would have made you watch that before we got married.
I've seen about 15 minutes of it.
It's not enough.
And I really... I want to see it, but it just hasn't happened.
It's just... It's amazing. And then I've watched Iron Man. So, Iron Giant and Iron Man. I've got Iron Man 2 coming up. And I got to say... Watched Iron Man, I've watched, and I love the Avengers. I fucking love the Avengers.
Yeah.
I've seen it three times. I really love Captain America First Avenger.
Yeah.
I enjoy Thor.
Thor was great.
Thor was fun.
Thor was Thor.
Thor was exactly the kind of movie that you would expect a Thor movie to be.
Exactly.
Right. But I, having rewatched Iron Man actually a couple of times in the last couple of months, I kind of feel like Iron Man might be the best of that Marvel group.
Robert Downey Jr.
It's the best. It is the best one.
he just completely owns Tony Stark.
Tony Stark, now to me, when I read Iron Man, I hear Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
I see his mannerisms and his facial,
Even though
and it's amazing to watch this guy who's not a hero, who is absolutely a dick.
Yeah.
Become a hero almost by accident.
Reluctantly.
And it captures it better than the origin that I, you know, because Captain America, he was always a hero.
Right.
He just wasn't butch enough to be one.
Yeah.
But Captain America is a hero from the very beginning. Even Peter Parker, there's the pieces of a hero within him. Yeah, he's an angsty teenager. But Iron Man, Tony Stark is not... the hero. He's not a supervillain. He's like just a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch that
selfish
transformation, that real is it. And he doesn't stop being selfish.
No.
But he does find the hero within himself. And I think that story is the most compelling of any of the stories within that Marvel
group of films. Iron Man's story is amazing.
We read Iron Man as it comes out, the comic in Marvel Current. Like, Matt Fraction writes it. That's one of the comics I had to sit in my car and just fucking read right then. Mm-hmm. Because the theme of Iron Man is invention, or more specifically, reinvention. And that's when Tony Stark becomes a hero. That's because he has to reinvent himself, because the way his life is working doesn't work anymore.
Right. But he doesn't stop being a dick.
No.
And that's needing to rise above who he is.
Yeah.
That's interesting about Iron Man. That no matter what, he has to start with the fact that he's got to be better than himself.
Well,
yeah.
What's interesting is the whole idea of, like, he doesn't believe in anything, any power. You know, I would say Tony Stark seems like an atheist.
He is an atheist.
So there's the whole, like, he doesn't believe in anything. The thing that he believes in that's better than himself is Tony Stark. Like, he believes in this version of him. Could be God in the sense of how smart and talented he is.
Well,
yeah,
the third movie is going to be partially based on the extremist storyline written by Warren Ellis, where Tony Stark eventually realizes that his human body cannot be more. He can't be more. He can't improve upon himself without effectively becoming transhuman. And so he becomes Iron Man inside and out. And he hacks himself genetically to rebuild how his body works and interface with the suit directly through his brain as a computer.
Huh.
And so, like, he reinvents himself into something better than human.
Because that's what Tony Stark keeps doing. He's a very compelling character, and I thought the film really got
it. It's amazing.
Tony
Best
Stark.
Casting ever.
Yeah. Like,
well, yeah. Because Robert Downey Jr., in many ways, is fucking Tony Stark.
Well, he has reinvented himself.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
He has
come back from the brink.
And he's
struggled
with substance abuse
exactly.
the same way Tony Stark has.
Yep.
It's an important part of the character. Do you see what Robert Downey Jr. wore to Comic-Con this past weekend?
No, what did he wear?
He wore a very stylish suit with Iron Man components underneath, like the arc reactor.
Oh, yeah?
And then his entire right hand and right arm was wearing an Iron Man glove with a repulsor in his palm.
Oh,
so when he did panels and stuff, he was all, like, showing it off and flexing the hand and lighting it up and crap. It was just like... It was, yeah. It's not enough just to be Robert Downey Jr.
I feel like Robert Downey Jr. is a little bit of a geek underneath all
Oh,
that.
Yeah, man.
For sure.
I love him.
Yeah.
So questions.
So here's the thing. Right after Convergence, somebody read my blog and they like clicked follow. And when they do that on WordPress, most people know this, but just in case you don't, when they do that on WordPress, it says, hey, go check out their blog.
Yeah.
And this is a person who recently has been making a journey from believer to non-believer.
Huh.
It was a really interesting blog. And one of the things they had done is they posted two sets of questions, one of which was 10 questions every atheist should answer.
Okay.
And, of course, it's not written from an atheist perspective. It's written from a Christian fundamentalist perspective.
Like almost everything in the world.
Right. Yeah. And then there was a companion one that was 10 questions every Christian should answer that was written by atheists. But I don't want to worry about that. But I thought it'd be fun for us to work through these 10 questions. I don't think we can do it in one podcast. Because not only is it 10 questions, and I think we all can talk about them for a long time, but here's the thing. Every single one of these questions is like more than one question. So really like 30 fucking questions.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so the first question, which is really badly phrased, but here we go. If there is no God, then there is no measurement or standard for morality? That is phrased as a question. I want you to understand.
So if there is no God,
then there is no measurement or standard for morality. Then what will define morality? That's the question.
Well,
so, in other words, what defines my morality if I don't believe in God?
Well, actually, it doesn't even... Because the two statements contradict each other.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because it says, if there is no God, then there is no measurement or standard for morality.
Right.
They literally say right up front...
They're presupposing...
We are presupposing that without God, there's no measurement or standard for morality.
So what
defines your morality? Well, it's like... They've already said, I can't give you an answer. You already told me that there is no standard for morality. But let's assume that they didn't say that, because otherwise there's no way to answer the question, right?
I guess someone invent a time machine, go back in time and tell, Hammurabi, that there is no measure of code or law or morality without Christianity. Because
honestly, like, as much as it's become co-opted as into Christianity, this idea of, do unto others... as you would have them do unto you.
That was around before Christ.
The golden rule.
The golden rule is pretty much the bottom line of morality. You treat other people the way you want to be treated, and you don't treat other people the way you don't want to be treated. I feel like that covers a whole lot of morality right there.
But the assumption here is that without God,
we can't.
God was the one that gave us that. Whether it was Jesus or Zeus
Allah.
Or whoever gave us that.
Okay, so religion in general.
Yes.
Without God, how can anybody have come up with a moral code? And, I reject the premise at the start.
Animals have...
Yeah, mutual benefit. Pack animals, social animals.
Yeah. Our cats aren't, trying to murder each other. I mean, they live in harmony. They don't believe
they might be
in God.
Secret
I'm
theists.
Confident the little one's an atheist. But no, seriously. I mean, and I know that people will say, but man has a higher intellect than the animals. But I don't think a higher intellect automatically means that we don't have morality. Man,
I'm not sure it's the animals have morality, but I agree that obviously they're social and they get along and they.
I'm not killing people because I'm afraid of moral consequences.
Right.
Or legal repercussions.
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure I could get away with it. But I'm more not killing people because I don't want to kill anybody.
Because it seems wrong. You're not doing it because it's one of the Ten Commandments. It's not like I'm sitting here going, well, God said, thou shalt not kill.
Right.
So I guess... I can't kill.
I'm not killing someone because I don't see why that would be my place to just... I don't know.
I feel like because I'm... like you were saying the last one we recorded, Tim, you belief would almost be comforting, especially when you think about death and that sort of thing. I feel like because I believe and all evidence points towards life being very finite. When you die, you are dead. You cease, most likely. man, death is very final, and killing another person seems is very.
I feel the definite. Same way. I have a lot of arguments against the death penalty, but since I've really resolved as an atheist, to me the death penalty is just about the worst thing.
I can't.
Because killing somebody is the worst thing you can do. You take away everything.
And you actually take things away from other people on top of that.
Yeah.
It's more than just taking away that one person's life. Yeah, you're taking away that person's morally from everyone else.
To kill somebody for committing murder is to do the ultimate wrong.
Yeah.
As retaliation for the ultimate wrong. And I can't get my head around that.
I want to hear another question. I feel like this question is a bad question on its face, but
they're all bad questions.
But I'm gonna say we all agree that the presupposition of this question saying that you have to have God to have morality is bullshit.
It's wrong.
It's just plain wrong.
It is.
So all right.
So question number two, and again, they start out by presupposing something.
Of course.
Which would make a statement.
Okay. If there is no God, then there is no meaning or purpose to life. So without a God, does life have a purpose or a meaning?
Yeah.
So they already answered the question
question is, without a God, what purpose or meaning does your life have?
Yeah, and they even then restated, without God, does the atheist have purpose?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have a very purposeful life. I'm a happy person. I enjoy my life.
I want to make other people happy. I like making people laugh. Yep. So I do comedy. I like making people, happy. So I like to do other things for other people. I like to give them gifts or take them out things like that. I mean, I enjoy my work. I enjoy my family.
You enjoy improving yourself and the lives of those around you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's lofty. Like, how can you say that that's not a noble meaning to life?
And I don't understand. I think, I want to point out, this is clearly a fundamentalist Christian point of view.
Yeah,
you know, I know Christians, plenty of Christians who would think these are bullshit questions
because
they are, and they understand that God doesn't really. I don't think they believe that God gives their life meaning or purpose.
They might think God adds joy. God adds meaning.
God adds something,
meaning.
But we all have to find our own meaning within our lives. My answer is that what gives my life meaning? I give my life meaning. I'm the one that has to decide what makes my life worth living.
I could just as easily not get up every day, not go to work, not have a husband or pets, and just spend all day sitting around and not doing anything and hating existence. That's my choice to do or not to do.
There's no like Jewish shut-ins or Catholic shut-ins or anything like that. I mean, like that.
Right.
Well, what purpose is God giving these Christians? I mean, the only purpose that God seems to be giving them is
to
spending their entire life serving Jesus Christ so they can go to heaven, and their idea of heaven is basically sitting there basking in the glory of God forever. So what I can do is praise God for my entire life, and the purpose of that is to be able to praise God for eternity.
Yeah.
Well, the idea that, also the idea that you, that this life isn't the best, that this is the bad, and the good is beyond this.
It takes
the idea
value and meaning away from
this
life.
I feel like the idea that heaven is what is the goal, and that after you're dead is only when things are really good, takes all the meaning and purpose and joy away from this day-to-day life that we're living, and makes it seem more like a drudgery and a servitude and a penance that we're doing. I could never get behind that.
Yeah, which is why you have to come up with a hell that is so horrific.
Yeah.
You know, you got to really say, well, yeah, heaven's better than this life, but you got to understand that there's this other thing. So basically, it takes the life that we're living and completely devalues it.
It neuters it. It's utterly neutered, because you can't take pleasure in the evil or the bad things and be like, oh, well, I'm just going to rape, murder, and plunder my way across this fucking plane, and that'll be fine. And you can't enjoy things because it's like, well, this is good, but oh my God, I hear it's getting so much better. You know, it's, I don't understand. I don't understand how they think that has more meaning.
The whole idea that, all joy in my life comes from God. And so I've got to, I'm not allowed to enjoy it on my own merits. You know, and to me, if I like going to a show, if we go do a vilification tennis show or rock a podcast out or whatever the fuck we do, and it's like you come away being like, oh my God, that totally killed.
Yeah.
You don't have the right to feel good about yourself. When we were doing PowerPoint karaoke at Convergence, it's the third time I've done PowerPoint karaoke, and I've never really felt like I've totally hit my stride.
Mm-hmm.
I love doing it. I think it's one of the most awesome improv experiences.
I really want to do it sometime.
Oh, God, it's great. It is fucking amazing. I mean, it's scary as hell.
Sure.
Scary as hell, but I love it. And I fucking hit the sweet spot.
I heard you killed, man. I wish I got to see it.
I was just like, I got done. I'm like, I fucking killed that. And it felt so good. It feels so good. You get off and it's like, I did that. It didn't come from a God or it didn't come from anybody else.
On your own merits.
I did it on my own merits. And I feel better about it.
And that's like I ran 7.5 miles this morning. And you know who ran those extra 2.5 miles? That was me. That was me pumping these legs like down that extra space.
That wasn't God being like, Molly, you can totally do an extra 2 miles.
No one gifted me that. Like I took that. I yanked that away from
somebody. And I just hate the concept that God would give me meaning or purpose.
Yeah.
It's like, well, how does the atheist have meaning? I think I have more meaning than somebody who believes that God provides all meaning and purpose.
I'm living for this life now. I'm living for this day and tomorrow. And I know that I get this. And I'm looking for anything else. So.
I feel like even if you were led a life without goals very much, like if you were like a total hedonistic, like living in a punk house, just getting drunk every day and working your shitty job and going to parties and stuff. Not to like, okay, like when I was in my early 20s. Like, I feel like that life, you're still giving yourself meaning. You're still giving yourself, because like seeking fun, good times, like experiences
memories
and stories, like that is valuable. I see value in that, even if it's not a productive life.
Sure.
There's meaning.
And there's times where, there's times you can go, you know, I kind of pissed away that week or that hour, or, you know.
I spent a month in a mental institution, but I still think it was pretty awesome. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, that was 30 days where I literally did nothing and didn't even leave a 20-foot area for 30 days. But, like, I would not say that that was devoid of meaning or was useless. Mm-hmm. Everything, that's the whole point of, I think, when you're an atheist is, like, every bit of your life like matters because this is what you have.
Yeah.
You're not saying like, well, this pain will leave me and someday I'll be with whatever, you know, with Jesus. It's about now.
Well, it's funny. I talked to a friend of mine who's an atheist who's like, you know, they're not looking forward to getting old. They're like, you know, I hope I don't live much past 70. I'm like, I fucking do. I want to live till I'm 120. I don't care if I'm old, blind, deaf, living in
such
shitting
a
myself. It's like I will take every minute of life that I have.
I'm gonna go into Walgreens and some fucking teenager's gonna be behind me wanting to buy a magazine and I'm gonna make her life awful. Like, I'm gonna take as long as I can looking through my purse for change, like talking about back in the aughts when, like, you know, like turn
because,
of the century.
Because
like,
fuck that teenager.
Yeah.
She's in too much of a hurry. She doesn't get it.
Yeah, she's probably wearing a cross.
Fucking religious teenagers.
All right, more.
I know, actually, I think we have two questions. We're going to have to save the rest up for a later podcast.
I'm so excited
because
to hear the rest.
It is time for five questions, and we are putting Molly.
Ooh.
Molly, you are on the
putting Molly to the question.
So awesome. we're skipping away from the 10 questions to go to five questions. So question number one, what's the best movie you've seen in the last month?
I'm gonna say Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah,
I thought it was great.
I thought it was amazing.
Shit, I almost really.
We all saw that together.
We did. I loved it, and I know some people have said that they thought it was just okay at parts, but I thought every fucking second of it was great. And I have terrible arachnophobia. I cannot.
Spider-Man scares the shit out of you?
No.
Whenever
they
do an origin story, a first movie.
I can't see, I can't look at spiders, I can't think about them. I kind of have panic attacks about them, so I had to like close my eyes and Nick put his hand on my knee to let me know like when I could look, he was going to let go when I could look again. And it was, his hand was on my knee for so long and I just kept hearing him going, oh my God, it's so bad. It's so bad.
Yeah, there was that scene there are so many fucking spiders in that one scene. So,
they're quite a lot.
But yeah, Spider-Man, I thought was great. I loved it.
Yeah, you know, and we also, you don't suppose that it had anything to do with the fact that we immediately left The Amazing Spider-Man and went to watch Prometheus.
I really liked it. I've always liked Peter Parker. I've always liked him.
Yeah, I like Peter Parker.
Because he's a nerd. He's a real fucking nerd. He's not good with girls, and then a girl likes him and he fucks it up because he can't understand why a girl would like him, and I get that. Like, that's me all over.
And then he fucks it up because it's like, to protect you, I need to push you away.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
I hate you. Is that what you want to hear? Yeah.
Pulls a Lassie.
Yeah, exactly.
Go away, girl.
Exactly.
I don't want you anymore.
Yeah.
it's Peter Parker. I love Spider-Man. He's always been my favorite superhero.
Also, I love Gwen Stacy, and I think Mary Jane's a slut, so I'm really glad that Gwen Stacy was in
there
this.
There you go.
So.
Damn.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
so the second question is, who's your favorite atheist character?
I'm going to go with, we talked about this briefly last week, but Moffat's Sherlock, who I think we all agree is an atheist.
I think he is.
I feel he's an atheist. I think that he is my favorite because of his, I mean, he's my favorite sociopath too, really.
Asperger's.
I mean, yeah, just the whole.
If he was ever revealed to be a theist, I would be pissed.
If he was a real,
yeah.
I had the biggest crush on Benedict Cumberbatch and the way he portrays the character. I've always loved Sherlock Holmes. I read a book called The List of Seven by Mark Frost, which is like about Arthur Conan Doyle getting the inspiration to do Sherlock Holmes. It's a fictional book, and ever since that meta fucking novel, I have just been.
He is the Watson to someone else.
Who becomes the inspiration for Sherlock?
Right,
it's great. Anyway, so that's who I'm gonna go with.
Mm.
I love that show.
Yeah,
I just have to say Sherlock is a fucking amazing show.
Yeah, I'm gonna give a shout out to Kurt Hummel on Glee, but that's just because. But he's a teenage boy who I think he's not my favorite, but I will give a shout out to that character.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. So the next question, I believe, is what is your favorite sandwich?
All right. I'm gonna go with a Reuben. Because I love it, and we've been eating them a lot lately at home. Actually,
is this a traditional Reuben corn beef?
I like a marble rye.
Yes.
Right. What I do is when I make them at home, I butter the bread, and then I put a little bit of garlic salt on the buttered bread, and then make it like a grilled cheese, but with really thin Swiss cheese, and then the butt egg meats in the little packets.
Oh yeah, I know
that
those.
Corned beef, one whole package per sandwich of that, and then cheese.
How
and
are
then,
you
like,
so skinny?
Like I know I run a lot. Like a cup of sauerkraut, and then another piece of marble rye, and then
like a full
then,
cup of sauerkraut.
Yeah, and
like,
then
yeah,
just and then just
shitload.
Like just griddle that shit until it's crispy. I will use fat free or low fat Thousand Island.
She puts on a little bit of Russian.
I don't put a lot of other Russian. Dressing.
I like mine like dripping.
Yeah, I don't like the Thousand Island dressing at all. I like it with mustard.
The sour mustard's good too.
Mustard's good too.
Yeah the sauerkraut. I feel like the sauerkraut gives it enough moisture. So, but I do not like Rachel's the
really?
Turkey version of it. I don't like them. Turkey and sauerkraut hot doesn't work for
me. Okay.
Okay.
Have you had a Rachel with like a brined turkey?
I don't like
it's
it.
Super salty like corned beef.
I just don't like it.
All right, next question.
The next question, what is your geekiest hobby?
Okay, so I am obsessed with Stephen King.
Oh, man.
And I have a tattoo, and I know, like, before I was, like, full on, saying I was an atheist, if anyone asked me what my religion was, I would have said the Dark Tower, because that's about as close to any kind of spirituality, religion, dogma I could get behind, which is the idea of Ka, which is, like, fate, and because, I mean,
like
I kind of like a wind, a sweeping fate that you can't escape. I believe in, you know, the whole free will fate debate is ridiculous now, but like for a long time I believed myself to be a fatalist in the sense that like shit happens and it doesn't matter what you choose, and not in a giving up way, but in a like things are whatever. Anyway, but I have read every single book he's ever written.
Do you have them all like hardcover?
No, because I'm not a bibliophile. I beat the shit out of my books.
She books like she puts them through their paces.
They're like battered chapped lovers. But I have read every book in the Dark Tower series. The first three I've read about 40 times each. The last four I've read 6 to 10 times each, depending. I've read everything else he's read at least 5 times. The Talisman I've read more than 30 times. The Stand I've read more than 30 times. I am...
So he's like your comfort food. He's what you go back to when you're like, I don't know what to read today. I'm going to read Stephen King.
I got, when I was in 8th grade, I got in trouble for reading The Stand in the halls. My 8th grade English teacher tried to take it away from me.
Huh.
And my mom was like, it's a 1,000-page book that you took away from a kid. Why would you do that? Like, but I there's things I say. There's catchphrases and idioms I use that are from Maine that I have always used because I grew up reading these books. And also 70s slang that I use, even though I have no right to use it because I was born in 78. Describing a bisexual guy as being ACDC, because that's something that was in these books. Like, like it's an old arcade. It's very weird. Just weird stuff like that. So,
Stephen King.
Yeah.
Also, your phobias are...
A lot of my phobias are based from Stephen King books. I don't like swimming rafts because of a short story called The Raft in the book Skeleton Crew. I can't go on them. It bothers me. Like, it just
rationally, you understand that there's no monster under there,
rationally,
but it's still...
But there's a part of
it. Believing in monsters isn't rational.
Yeah.
Right, no.
Yeah.
That's,
and
aren't
no matter
rational.
How much of a rationalist you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. All right, so last question.
All right.
What's the stupidest thing somebody's ever said to you about your atheism or skepticism?
Okay, so one time, someone said to me, because I was having this big debate, and what was said was, I said that I lose respect for people when I find out that they believe in God or are religious. I just, I do. And it doesn't mean I don't like them as much, doesn't mean I don't love them, doesn't mean that I don't think they're smart. It just means there's a box of respect that is now unchecked. Because that's all it is. But it's a fact, and I'm not going to apologize for it or pretend it isn't true. And the people I was debating, one of the dudes said to me, well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, we'll see if you're an atheist when you get cancer or when your husband dies.
Oh, there's no atheist
or when something bad
bullshit
happens to you. We'll see then, because then you're going to wish that you had God to believe in. And we'll see what happens then. And I was like, well, I'll still be an atheist. And
they refuted it. They said, no, you're really not. You're not really an atheist.
You're not really an atheist. You're not an atheist.
When it comes down to it, you'll...
Yep. And what he even said was, if Nick dies... If Nick dies, you're going to want to believe in heaven. Because you're going to want to... Because if Nick's dead, you know, if he dies before you...
Let's face it. I'm going to die before
you.
You're
going to die before me. Yeah. I love you. But because if Nick dies... when Nick's dead, you're going to believe in heaven. You're going to change your mind. And it was so insulting to me. Because I would never say to somebody, well, when you get cancer, you'll understand there's no God. And everything's fucking random.
When you die and there's no heaven waiting for you.
Right?
You'll figure it out. What a bunch of bullshit. It's like... Of course, if my wife dies before me, I'm going to wish there was a heaven
right.
that I would see her again.
Right.
You know, that's a completely natural response.
Yeah.
I'm going to know that's not true.
I believe in cat heaven. Like, because I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I believe in that sense of like, oh, like, you know, you're putting down a pet and it's like, it's okay. You know, you're going to go somewhere better. You know, you're saying it. It's
comforting lies.
Yes, it's not. But it's not like... I don't think I'm going to be reunited with a whole bunch of cats after I die. Although that would be amazing.
Cats, that would be great. I would. If heaven was crazy cat lady heaven, that'd be great.
That's the stupidest thing. Was just this idea that like that my atheism is on this tenuous thread that relies completely on my life being happy, as opposed to if it was bad, then I'll all of a sudden find God, which. The converse of that argument is insulting. To say like, oh, well, your Christianity, your Judaism, your religion is only hanging on by this thread of your life being bad. Mm. And as soon as shit's normal, then you won't believe in God. I mean, like,
It disrespects the atheist.
Yeah.
And it disrespects the person saying it.
Yeah.
It's just a bad argument, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, if you want to, like, I don't know, you want to argue about whether or not you think I'm an atheist, that's fine, that's cute, but, like, don't try to tell me what I am, I won't try to tell you what you are.
I accept when you define yourself as a Christian, why is it that you don't accept when I define myself as an atheist?
Yeah, you say, oh, I'm a Christian. I go, oh, that's okay. That's too bad. But, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, no, you're not. Come on.
The first thing that comes to my mind when you say that is, you know how when some religious nutball does something violent or extreme or terrible, like bombs an abortion clinic
right.
or... some act of domestic terrorism or whatever, everyone else that belongs to that religion, okay, it's Christianity, let's just say
it. Or even it, that church.
Says, oh, they weren't a real Christian, though. It's like, but they just bombed an abortion clinic in the name of God. Like, yeah. You can't say that they're not Christian
because
they're
not
after their terrible actions.
Yes. Yeah.
You gotta kind of say, well, they were Christian. They may have been twisted and wrong, but they were a Christian.
And I don't think we can do that with atheism. I've never looked at an atheist who's done something in the name of atheism. I mean, I can't think of anyone who's ever done something horrible in the name of atheism, but I've never looked at that and been like, oh, no. Oh, that asshole? No, he believed in God. Don't listen to him. Right. He said he didn't believe in God. Fuck that. No, he believed
in
God.
He's really a Christian.
Right.
He's not with us.
Exactly.
But you know what? I do say that about people that call themselves skeptics, like ghost hunters and like Bigfoot hunters. They're like, I'm a total skeptic. I hunt Bigfoot every night and
I won't rest until there's actual evidence.
Yeah, okay, but you're not really a skeptic though if you believe in Bigfoot. I mean,
that's just the way it is. All right, we've reached the end of this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any comments that you don't want to post on our website or send to us via Twitter or on Facebook, you can always send us an email, either Nick, Molly, or Tim at geekswithoutgod.com. We will be back next week. Thanks to Tim Wick and Jeffrey Brown for our theme song, Geeks Without God.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and look at past podcasts at www.geekswithoutgod.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
Geeks without God.